3-1 pitch, swing and a drive. Deep to right field, way up there, way out of here. Goodbye, baseball.
Eight strikeouts for the King tonight and make it 23 consecutive scoreless innings for Felix.
Strike three called on the outside corner, and there it is.
It's time for the Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast.
Kyle Seager, that just happened. Thank you very much.
Now, here's your host, Gary Hill.
Here we go, back with the Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast. Thanks for coming by once again. Podcast 301 at Mariners Pod on Twitter. Thanks for being here once again. It's going to be a fairly quick one, simply because it's 1 in the morning and I have to be up in a couple of hours. So let's get right to it as the Mariners beat Baltimore in Game 1 of a 4-game series. And we talked about it in the podcast yesterday. This 20-game stretch the Mariners started yesterday, it's a big stretch in terms of who they play and the ground they can gain. A tough stretch. I mean, they're playing a lot of good teams in this stretch. But it was a great start as they beat Baltimore in Game 1 of the series. We are going to hear from Mike Zunino, who was called up by the Mariners yesterday after Steve Clevenger, unfortunate, hurt his hand. He's going to be out for a while. Had to have surgery yesterday. So Mike Zunino is up. Shannon Dreyer, a chance to catch up with him. Mark Trumbo has really had an amazing season. What he has done with the bat, the long ball, everything else. And he gives that credit, some of that credit anyways, to Edgar Martinez. Aaron Goldsmith will catch up with Mark Trumbo. That conversation comes up in a few minutes as well. But let's get to the highlights of this one, as the M's take down Baltimore in Game 1 of the series.
Keep in mind, Baltimore had won 7 games in a row coming in, red hot, tied for the second-best record in the American League, tied with Cleveland coming in just behind Texas, playing great baseball, and their offense has been unstoppable this season, just bashing home runs everywhere. But Taijuan Walker was excellent out of the gates, but he got some help from his defense as well. The defense solid all night, and it started with Kyle Seager.
The 2-2 to Jones, swinging a ground ball to the hole. It's short, diving, sliding, stop, up with the ball. Kyle Seager, spin move, gets up, throws to first in time to get Adam Jones. Kyle Seager with an outstanding play way to his left, sliding on his left knee, gets up, makes the stop, and he has time to get the speedy Adam Jones over at first base. Outstanding play by Kyle Seager, one away.
Nice play there by Seager. First batter of the ballgame at Adam Jones. Walker goes 1-2-3 in the first, and that would be a preview of what would be to come the next few innings for Taijuan Walker, as he put it, in cruise control. And the Mariners didn't waste any time. Kyle Seager on the other end of things, getting a base hit, driving home a run with two outs.
The right-hander delivers, swing, and a line drive over the head of Machado at third. Down the left field line, Cano running third. He'll score. Around to third, Cruz, up of the ball, Kim. The throw to third, not in time, and it gets on by Machado. Backing up his leaders, Kyle Seager in at second base with a clutch two-out RBI base hit, and the Mariners lead Baltimore
1-0 at that point. Mariners with the lead. In the second inning, more defense. Martin, a tremendous catch in center field off the bat of Mark Trumbo.
Here's the pitch, swung on, well hit ball, straightaway center. Martin racing back to the warning track, still going back, reaches up, and he makes the catch. Braces himself up against the wall in straightaway center field. A sliver of sunlight on that warning track. He had to look up into that. Race back, showing his numbers, made the catch a half step from the wall. Leaped high in the air at the top of the fence. He got it. What a catch by Leonis Martin, and two away for the Orioles.
That was a great catch. 1-2-3 in the first, 1-2-3 in the second, 1-2-3 in the third. He retired the first 11 he saw with a punch out.
Walker looks in, has the sign. 3 strikeouts tonight. The 1-2 pitch, swing and a miss, and make it 4. He strikes out Kim on a 1-2 fastball at 95 miles an hour. 2 down for the Orioles here in the fourth. Strikeout number 4 for Taijuan Walker, and he is a humming, baby.
Yeah, he was on fire. And the next batter, Manny Machado, would pick up a base hit, but he was erased at first base on another great defensive play.
2-2 pitch, swung on, fly ball deep into the gap in right center field. Martin racing back, and this one is off the top of the wall. Machado to second, stumbles, stops, goes back, the throw into Marte. The relay back to Lee, and it's in time! Machado is out at first. He made the wide turn. He wanted to go to second, but he stumbled and had to stop. Martin got the throw into Marte. Marte fired back to Dejo Lee, down with the tag. And Machado is out trying to get back.
That was a great play. So he's faced the minimum at that point. It was all set up by Martin's arm in center field. He just has a cannon attached. That was a great throw. Machado knew it. He got off too far, tried to scramble back, couldn't get back. So he's out. And then in the fifth, Mariners attack on two more. Mariners up 1-0 at that point, but Seth Smith goes yard.
The pitch to Smith, swinging, well hit ball deep to right field, and that is gone. Goodbye, baseball. To heck with the bunt. He swings away, and on a 2-1 pitch, hits a rocket out of here to right field with Martin aboard. Number 7 on the year for Seth Smith. And the Mariners now lead the Orioles by a score of 3-0. What a shot by Smith.
No doubt about that. And the Mariners would get one more on what ends up being a huge play in this ballgame.
The 2-2 to Lee, swing and a line drive into right center field, shallow, coming in trouble. Can't get to it, plays it on a hop. Cano will score. The throw to third, Cruz is out at third base. Cruz went toward back to second. It looked like Trumbull might catch it, and then he took off for third. Trumbull's throw to Manny Machado was in time to get Cruz at third. Cano will score.
So he scores to make it 4-0 Mariners. Baltimore gets one back on a solo blast in the seventh to lead things off, and then a base hit by Davis, so Walker's night would be done. Diaz comes on, and he was throwing flames.
The 1-2 caught on and missed as he blows it right past Wieters at 89 miles an hour. Diaz strikes out both men that he faces in relief of Taijuan Walker, and the two have combined to allow just one run over seven innings against the Baltimore Orioles.
And then Nelson Cruz would come up on the other side of things, pick up a double in the seventh inning, and he ends up on third base on an error by Jones in center field. Seager, the intentional walk, and then Dejo Lee comes up with another RBI.
The 1-1 pitch, swinging a shattered bat, a weak ground ball over to third. Machado somehow avoids the barrel of the bat, throws to second for one, on to first base in time for the double play to end the inning. Machado evading shrapnel on the left side of the infield, and that will bring the seventh to a close. That's a phenomenal play by Machado, the Platinum Glove Award winner. And here is Scott Servais. Servais puts up his left hand. He might want to take a look at this. The headsets are off, and he is safe at second. He is safe at second. The run will score. That is Cruz. And the inning will continue.
You couldn't tell in full speed at the time, but the foot just kind of hovering above the bag with the catch at second base. So safe at second, a run scores, and that would be a much-needed run because Baltimore would get to work in the eighth off of Benoit. They would score a couple of times. They would chase him. Mariners go to the bullpen. Cishek called on in the eighth inning looking for a four-out save, and he gets out of the eighth with a punch out.
The 1-2 on the way, swing and a miss and a fastball, strike three. Steve Cishek strikes out Chris Davis, and that will finally retire the side in the top of the eighth inning. Holy smokes, what a pitch by Cishek.
And then it's always a scary situation in the ninth inning when Baltimore and all their power lead off base hit by Trumbo, but Cishek goes 1-2-3, including a punch out to end things and end this ball game.
The 3-2 pitch, swing and a miss, strike three, and the ball game is over. The Mariners won it 5-3 over the Baltimore Orioles, and the Mariners get back to a game over 500. They go to 40-39 on the year. Steve Cishek, an outstanding job, an inning and a third to pick up his 19th save of the year.
So there it was, closing it out, getting the win. Mariners 5-3 winners over Baltimore. Taijuan Walker, outstanding in his start. Here's what he had to say.
Felt good. Arm felt good. I felt like Chris did a good job, you know, attacking the zone, going right after them, pitching in and out, up, down, mixing. He's bailing me out. A couple of nice plays. The offense been really good. Just overall, I think it was a great team win, something we needed.
How about the foot?
It's all right.
Didn't feel anything at all? Or?
I felt it, but, it's, I guess, something I just got to pitch through. And, knowing that nothing's structurally wrong with it, I still go out there and pitch. Before, I didn't know what was my Achilles, and so, I didn't want to use my legs just in case. But now that I know it's nothing structural wrong with it, I can still use my legs and almost kind of just have to pitch through it, I guess, for now.
When did you start to feel that?
First pitch. But, I felt good in the bullpen and everything, but just that first pitch, it started acting up again.
Did you have a little extra life on the fastball maybe after not having pitched for a few days, a few extra days?
Yeah, definitely. My arm felt really good, and I felt like, the ball was coming on really good, and I thought I was using my legs good as much as I can, and just mixing everything and just keeping them off balance.
Sean, is this something you're just going to have to deal with going forward, the flu issue?
Yeah, I think so. Hopefully it just goes away out of nowhere, but, for now, just do what I do in between. Just stay off as much as possible and then just be ready for the next start.
Will you be able to do that on a normal rotation? We had the extra days this time.
Yeah, I think so. Last time, before a boss start, I felt like it went away. I felt good, and so hopefully, we'll just keep doing treatment and it'll be good. Oh, huge. It got me, no runners on, and so, I felt good from the windup, and, anytime, they hit the ball out there, you just know that he's going to catch it, and give his best effort at it, and, as a pitcher, that feels good.
He is so good in center field. Catch he made last night was outstanding. He used the arm as well, got the out at first base. I mean, he was tremendous game in center field. Really nice defensive effort for the Mariners as well. Defense was solid. Pitching outstanding. Walker, Diaz, and Cishek closing it down. And then the offense as well. One long ball, but also manufacturing some runs as well. So nice win for the M's. Here's what the skipper had to say about it.
It looked like the Taiwan you've been waiting for, huh?
Yeah, that was great to see. He certainly looked much healthier. He was using his legs getting down the hill and, very efficient early on with his pitches, which was, huge for us. Really, really happy to see him getting back going again. That's the guy. That's the guy we saw early in the year. We just haven't seen him in a while.
Hey, last time you talked about how the defense had been shaky and it really bailed you out several times tonight.
Yeah, we showed up ready to play tonight. We had some discussions today before the game about our intensity level and where it needed to go. We kind of know how our season has gone to this point. There's a story yet to be written is the way I look at it. And discussions I had with our veteran group today, they understand where we're at and we need to play well. We need to get this thing going in the right direction leading into the All-Star break and then see where we're at that point.
But do you consider that a team meeting or was it a regular part of your...
It's a regular part of our program. We meet with our group about, once a month when it's called for.
It looked like you guys made Tillman work quite a bit. You didn't get in on him on any level. Is that kind of like coming in?
Yes. Raise the intensity level. Every pitch, every play, you got to finish at bats. You got to keep grinding. And, it's tough to win in this league. And if you don't bring it every night, there's very few teams that are so talented they can just throw it out there and it goes okay. So, again, nice to see our guys step up. We got to do it again tomorrow night because nobody was happy with the way we played last night. So it was nice to get it back going again.
Jonas kind of showed you the glove and the arm there.
He's dynamic center fielder, but he got to finish plays. He didn't finish a couple over the weekend. He got there, didn't catch them. Tonight he did, and that's the difference between the good players and the great players. Got to do it. Got to do it consistently.
Was Walker's foot okay throughout the outing?
It stiffened up a little bit later on. But he had plenty of pitches to go. And we talked after the sixth inning, and I just said, this is your game. You're going to go as long as you can. And he says, that's right, I got it. So, that's where he needs to be.
A little shaky outing from Benoit, too. Because I'm sure you didn't want to use C-Check.
No, it's a little concerning. Jack just hasn't been right. Mechanically, timing off, the walks. That's what you never see from him, and we've seen it a few times. So, Hadn't been out there in a while. We need him. We certainly need him. You know, Diaz has done an outstanding job for us. But, you know, we need more than one guy, you know, leading up to C-Sheck.
Diaz was electric. I think I talked about this on the podcast the other day. If I didn't, I should go over it real quick again. I think it's worth it. These numbers as a couple days ago, so not up to today, I think even a couple days. But the point remains the same in what Diaz has done this year. He's pitched in 11 games. Yesterday was 12, so before that, 11 ball games. If you look at American League strikeouts per nine for pitchers with at least 11 games, Miller, 16.84, Betances, 16.15, Diaz, 14.92, Chapman, 13.95, and Kimbrel, 13.94. Diaz is nestled among the elite of the elite in the American League in terms of punch-outs. Miller, Betances, Chapman, and Kimbrel. I mean, that is the best possible company you can be in terms of strikeouts, and that is where Diaz is. I mean, granted, he has not pitched as many games as those other guys, and it's a tough pace to continue. That is what he's done. I mean, that's where he's at. He didn't hurt his strikeouts per nine last night when he fanned a couple. That's a great thing. They really could use Benoit as well, who has struggled. So the Mariners take on Baltimore in game two tonight, 7:10 first pitch from Safeco. Wade LeBlanc goes to the mound. He and his scoreless streak. He hasn't been scored on since 2014. It's been a long time. Excellent start, his first time out, first start in a Mariners uniform. And again, take on a Baltimore team who nearly got the monthly record in Major League Baseball for home runs. They hit 56 home runs in the month of June. That's the most ever for a month of June. They nearly got the total record, which happened, well, the Mariners did it in 1999, 58 home runs. The 87 Baltimore team did it as well, 58 home runs. So this version of Baltimore nearly captured the 87 O's and also the Mariners in 99. Not surprisingly, Griffey had 11 home runs in that month for the Mariners in May of 1999. But they got contributions all over the place. Butch Husky had 7. David Bell had 7. Edgar Martinez chipped in 6 as well. Just a huge month for the Mariners. And Russ Davis, he had 7 as well. A-Rod had 8. I mean, home runs galore in 1999. So the Mariners take on Baltimore. Kevin Gausman will go for Baltimore. Very talented, 1-5, a 3.93 ERA so far on the season. He has pitched at Safeco Field before. His last time out came against Tampa Bay, and he was excellent. 7 2/3 scoreless. Time before that, gave up 4 5 innings against Texas. Before that, 6 3 innings against Boston. And I mean, it's been that kind of roller coaster ride. I mean, he's had a 6 2/3 one run against the Angels, 6 innings one run against New York. But then he's had those other starts where he's given up some runs. So we'll see what happens as the Mariners take on Baltimore and try and take game two of the series. Well, back with the Mariners, their catcher, Mike Zunino. Here's Mike Zunino with Shannon Dreyer.
Shannon Dreyer here at Safeco Field, catching up with Mike Zunino. It's great to see you here at Safeco Field again, Mike. Last night you said you were at dinner and you got a phone call you probably weren't expecting to get last night.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where it always happens when you're least expecting it. So I was had an off day, was out to dinner with my wife, and ended up getting a call. So it was really exciting, and I mean, I hate to see that happen to Clevinger, and I mean, hopefully he heals quick, but it was great to get that.
Yeah, you've been back there. You know that's part of the deal. It's tough.
Yeah, it's part of the position, and we take a few bumps and bruises, but, I mean, those breaks are never fun.
We've kind of been following you when you've been down at Tacoma. You had the hot start, you had the rough May, and then you really look like you've rebounded in the last month. What have you learned over this time?
I think I've trusted the process of not falling into those long slumps. I mean, it was time working on stuff. I mean, whether it was taking pitches or working counts, and I really used that time for what it was. And that was my biggest thing, was not even following the results, but trusting that process of it. And it's left me feeling pretty good with where I stand right now.
How different is it working that out there as opposed to being up here?
Yeah, it's very different. I mean, once the season starts, I mean, it's tough to slow it down. So it's one of those things where, I mean, I knew what I wanted to try to do this year, and I was able to do that for the most part, and I was able to get a lot of at-bats that really helped.
One of the things that's been great to see is the on-base percentage. That's something new. What's your focus been there?
Yeah, I mean, it's really me trusting, I mean, my approach and what I'm doing mechanically, and that's helped, I mean, lead me to taking more pitches. I always get the hit-by-pitch, so I don't know why. And then, with the hits falling too, it always helps. So it's nice to just sort of mix all that in there and, just trusting myself at the plate.
Now, the approach that you have right now, has that been consistent? Is that what you took out of spring training, or have there been adjustments to that?
Yeah, I think there was always tweaks going into spring training. I really felt good going into the last week of spring training and then carried that into the season. I've really tried not to venture too far away from that.
What's the key to that for you right now? What's different?
Just keeping everything simple, and I think that's the biggest thing, and really eliminating the voices and knowing what I'm doing mechanically and mentally is right and can work for me, and just trusting that.
Now, who have you been working with down there? Who's been instrumental?
Scott Brosh has been awesome, and I think his biggest attribute is, he lets you sort of go do your thing, and then when you approach him, he's already a step ahead of you, and it's nice because he lets you sort of feel things on your own more so than just preaching it and being overbearing.
What's the biggest thing you've learned on your own?
Probably just keep everything simple and then know that what I'm doing is working and just trusting myself. And there's times, in the last couple of years where you're just making adjustments every day, so it's nice to really, cut that down and really just go into the cage and focus on what you want to focus on.
So you had just absolutely the insane April. What was going right there, and then what happened?
A little bit of everything. I was getting great pitches to hit and early in the count. And when May came, they were pitching me different. And it's one of those things where I learned that. I was taking more walks, but I just had to learn to be more patient. And I was able to do that and lined out a lot. But, sometimes that's part of the game. And, just dealing with that and not getting hits was nice, knowing that the at-bats were so productive.
And how do you judge a productive at-bat right now?
To me, it's if I'm sticking to my approach and my plan and whatever the situation dictates. Whether it's a hit, a walk, moving a guy over, a sack fly, anything that you can do to help the team at that point, and me staying within my approach. And sometimes the pitcher makes good pitches and you have to tip your hat.
On the catching side, you had Paxton down there. He kind of surprised us all when he came up. What did you see in his development down there?
He's just been doing everything, and he sort of cleaned up his arm slot a little bit, and then you guys see the spike in the velo. But, we all knew what he was capable of, and right now it's clicking for him, and I'm just excited to get working with him and the rest of the pitching staff to get them moving forward.
Well, once again, we can't wait to see you back behind there. Thank you, Mike.
Great. Thanks for having me.
And now Aaron Goldsmith with Mark Trumbo, former Mariner.
Mark, the Orioles are absolutely on fire right now. You are a big reason why. Nobody in the game has more home runs than you do right now. What has been working specifically well for you this year at the plate, other than the fact that you've been mashing a lot of pitches over the fence?
Well, so far so good. Quite a bit of room to go. I don't know what to say. Sometimes it clicks for you. Sometimes it's, can be a little more of a fight. But so far this year, same principles that I was trying to integrate last year. Tried to carry them over. Some of the adjustments I tried to make last year, with the Mariners. And, I think just being surrounded by such a talented group of guys, you can't help but, kind of be inspired and try and kind of do your part to keep pace, because everyone here seems to be having pretty nice seasons. And, you want to be one of the guys.
I know Edgar spoke very highly of his time working with you. What was it like for you working with Edgar Martinez last season?
That was a real treat. Edgar's... arguably one of the best right-handed hitters to play the game. And it was a guy that, as soon as, we started talking, I realized that I'd be foolish not to listen to his advice. Anything he said that he thought I could do better, it was pretty much a no-brainer. If Edgar Martinez thinks that this could be better, or that, you should change this a little bit, why not, at least give it an extended try and see for yourself?
The Orioles have a chance tonight with one home run to have the most home runs hit in the month of June by any team in the history of baseball. You referenced just a moment ago this lineup and so many players, not just yourself, having a productive season, let alone a productive month of June. What is it like for you in terms of whether it be picking up a tip here or there from watching another guy swing, or simply being in that environment where it seems like, especially this month, everybody for the Orioles is clicking?
Hey, it's fun. I think that, at the end of the day, it's a whole lot of good times, and it doesn't always last forever, but I think this month in particular You know, we've had some guys that have been swinging extremely well. Adam and John Scope in particular have been on absolute, you know, they've been on fire. And Chris and Manny and I mean, there's quite a few names to mention in here, but you know, I think it really is. It's kind of an energy you feed off of. It's something where we have confidence. You know, maybe if we don't start the game swinging the bat as well, we have the opportunity and ability to do a little bit better job later. And we've just got some really timely hits that have ultimately probably given our pitching staff a little bit of breathing room.
We saw your power many years ago with Anaheim. Of course, we saw it for a short time here in Seattle when you were with the Mariners, and now we're watching it from afar for you in Baltimore. It seems like your power, Mark, comes so easily. You might disagree with that, but it appears at least that it comes so easily. Are you a believer that a home run is simply a line drive that gets out of the ballpark, and the standpoint of the mindset of trying to hit a home run versus just trying to make solid contact?
There are times when you probably take shots that you might, I don't know if swinging hard is the right word, but set your sights a little bit higher. I think one of the biggest things is if you hit it on the good part of the bat and get a good pitch to hit, oftentimes, you know, good things happen. So more than, you know, swinging from your heels and trying to launch all the time, I think it's more about getting a pitch you can handle. And, you know, I do groove my swing to kind of hit those line drive gap type shots. And you know, if you happen to get under it a little more, sometimes they end up turning into the fly balls that are ultimately home runs. But, you know, I think that solid contact approach is far more important and gives you a lot better chance for overall success beyond just the home run part of it.
Mark, it's always great to catch up with you. Welcome back to Seattle.
I appreciate it. Thanks.
See you later!